Good morning, church. When you go to work, do you go to work to work? Or do you go to work looking at the clock, looking to get off? You say, Pastor, sometimes it's like that. Yeah, we have come to church today to work. To work. And the work of the church is to pray. We've come to work today. Not coming to spectate, but to participate. Prayer is not a work of the church. It is the work of the church. Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. This is his house. And as important as preaching is, it's not a house of preaching. As important as singing is, it's not a house of singing. It's a house of prayer. And I know some of us are not accustomed to praying. Maybe why we have so many empty seats today. But where two or three are gathered. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. And as you're turning there, last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. Easter Sunday. The Christians here and all around the world celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. No man takes his life, but he lays it down. And it was prophetically necessary for him to lay his life down and die for all of our sins. But he also said that he lays it down and he has the authority to take it back up again. He got back up again. And the stone that they rolled over the sepulcher and sealed with the Roman insignia was not strong enough to keep Jesus in that grave. Matter of fact, the stone was rolled away not for him to walk out. He had already ascended. The stone was rolled away so that the disciples, the unbelievers in the world, could look in and see that he was gone. Authority. He got up. And we celebrated. We danced. We jumped. We waved flags. We had a wonderful time of joy. But I want to let y'all know something. That the resurrection of Jesus is not just contingent upon one Sunday out of the year where we get happy. No, he's alive right now. He's risen right now. And if the Lord should allow us to live, he is risen tomorrow as you go to work. There's power in the resurrection of Yeshua in Jesus. Now, when Jesus got up from the grave, one of the benefits of his resurrection is that death lost its what? Sting. And the grave has no victory. So since he got up, those of us who trust in him will get up as well. And so when we consider the fact that our precious and dear Mother Walker went home, because this place was not her home, she went home on Friday afternoon to be with the Lord. And we're praying for Ron and his family, but we're also rejoicing over the fact that her faith has become sight. We're also rejoicing over the fact that she will never experience pain, suffering, and sickness again. Why? Because Jesus got up and he guarantees our resurrection, because to be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord. Man. So I envy her in the sense that she has seen Jesus. Oh, my goodness. That's why when we have her memorial service on this Saturday, I believe it's going to be around 2 o'clock, we can join the family in grieving. But we are the kind who grieve with hope. Hope. Why? Because, again, the grave of Jesus is empty. He defeated death. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because God knows what those saints are experiencing in glory. So we mourn, we grieve with hope. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, my goodness, my goodness. If he didn't get up, we'd be miserable. But since he got up, we have hope, we have joy. But there's also another benefit of him getting up, resurrecting from the dead. There are many, but here's another one. When he rose, the Bible says he ascended and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. I believe this. He's at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says in at least two places that while Jesus is there, he's making intercession for us. That means he's praying for us to the Father on our behalf. Y'all, prayer must be really, really important. If Jesus, until we get there with him and he makes a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be no more need to pray in that kingdom because his people will be with him. But until that time, he's praying for us. So it must be heavy. See, I love it to know that he is talking to the Father for me, because I'm not always talking to the Father about myself. And then he gives me the Holy Spirit when I don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit takes moans and groans to God when I don't even know how to pray. God's got me covered through prayer. It's powerful, but we don't always utilize it. We worry, we stress, we strain, we try to do things in our own strength and power and resources. I can call so-and-so, I can call. Oh man, we got to call on God, who's inexhaustible, who's transcendent. As my brother said, he's one of one. There's no one like him, nobody greater. But a lot of times we don't have because we don't ask. We come to church not to work, but to watch, to spectate rather than participate. And one of the things that sets the devil on the run is a praying church. A praying church is a powerful church. A prayerless church is a powerless church. So he's making intercession, but guess what? He also gives us access. Because he got up, the veil in the temple was torn. Because he got up, Hebrews says that we can all approach the throne of grace at any time about anything and find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Because although we know God, God knows us, we still have needs. And our God has said, I will supply all of your needs. And we usually think material, but it's so much more than that. And he said, I'll supply your needs. But he wants us to ask. And not only that, to ask together. Together. As my brother quoted, what has been called the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, because in that prayer, Jesus says to confess your trespasses if we've sinned. But the Lord doesn't sin. Disciples do. So this is our prayer. And that prayer starts off saying, our Father. Prayer is not always my Father. Yes, 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 my Father. When Jesus was in the garden, he was talking to his Father, my Father. But he also calls us to pray in community, our Father. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to call on God today in community. Yes, we are, because he's given us access to stand in the gap for other people and not just to pray for ourselves or trust Jesus to do all the praying. One of the things that God revealed himself to the children of Israel as being, and that was being a healer. A healer. So when they're coming out of Egypt and the people saw all the plagues that hit the Egyptians, God assured his people that I am a healer for when you come across sickness. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." And for my doctors in here, we thank God for you, our nurses, our medical technicians. God has graced you to be able to assist him in the healing process. We thank God for doctors. One of the people who wrote the Bible was a doctor. His name was Luke. Paul gave Timothy a prescription. Take some wine for your frequent ailments. The prophet Isaiah, when he healed Hezekiah, applied a piece of vegetation to a boil that he had. So God works in medicine. But let's not ever, ever, ever get it twisted. He is the one who does the healing. And he healed Mother Walker. We asked for him to heal her, and he did. He just didn't do it our way. I wanted her here a little longer. But God says, I'm taking her with me, and she is completely healed. You do know when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he eventually died again. That's our entrance into glory. Unless the Lord, again, he comes tonight. Our entrance into glory, if he should tarry, is through death. But even in death, man, we're not defeated at all. It's the beginning for believers. So Jehovah, Yahweh, Yah, he says, I'll heal you. I'll heal you, not only physically, but spiritually. Some of us have been spiritually sick, emotionally unwell, mentally fragile and sick. And some of us need healing in our finances. We need healing across the board. And he says, I am the Lord who heals you. So this prayer for healing services, we're talking to God. I need healing. My neighbor needs healing. We need healing. And so we're going to cry out to God. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus came into Peter's house. I'll start reading verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, anybody need Jesus to come into your house? Yeah. We need him to come into this house, my house at home, my children's house. Lord, if you walk in, my God, things are not going to be the same. The Bible says he saw Peter's wife's mother lying sick with a fever. The results of the fall, sickness. Verse 15, so he touched her hand and the fever left. Anybody need a touch? May not be a physical fever where you're hot. Might be something else going on in your life where you're hot, you're angry about something. Lord, if you just touch me, you can calm. You can bring my temperature down. You can cause me to be regulated properly. So he touched her and the fever left. Lord, we're just asking today, you just touch your people. And she arose and served them. She just didn't get her healing and go on anyhow. She got healed and served. Then verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Stop. Because he touched one woman, word went out around town and said, there's a healer at Peter's house. Come on, get up. They're bringing sick people, demon-possessed people, because they heard. There was this mushroom of, you know, when you drop something into the water, it's going to be a ripple effect because of the impact. When there's an explosion, there's a mushroom that comes out that can be seen and heard and felt from miles around. When Jesus was in the house healing one person, something happened and the whole community was needy. They had needs and they came to the one who was the healer. They were desperate. They weren't trying to lean on their own understanding and figure it out. They said, I need some help. And Peter's house became a sanctuary. And here they come. Here they come. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Not some. Jesus healed all of them. Nowhere do I read he needed an offering before he healed anybody. Nowhere does someone have to sow a seed to get a miracle. You know, you don't have to give money to have angels come and minister. But people out here robbing people, they're charlatans. No, no, no. The Bible says he did all this that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. What does that mean? It means a whole lot. Of course, on the cross, he took our sins. But one of the repercussions or ramifications of sin is sickness. Not in every case, but because of the fall, our bodies began to decay and become susceptible and vulnerable to sickness. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, he not only died for our sins, but he also died to restore us wholly. So that when we go to heaven, we're going to get a new body. So he just doesn't care about our souls, but he cares about our bodies as well. He cares about our situations, our circumstance. And within the cross of Christ is everything we need. Of course, we are eternally forgiven, those of us who know Jesus. But we also have the hope of knowing we're going to get a brand new body when we get into glory. That, again, will not be susceptible and vulnerable to sickness, which is one of the results of the fall. But I love this here because it's not just saying wait until heaven to get healed. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the person of Jesus to do some healing right now. Oh, I can't get a witness. To do some healing right now. Yes, by his stripes, I'm healed eternally of everything that will come against me. But there's also some healing from his stripes right here, right now. And I'm going to ask God to help me in my body, in my mind, because Jesus cares about all of me and not just my spirit or my soul. So while he's healing, they say, man, this is a result of the work on the cross. Thank you, God. Jesus was and Jesus is a healer. And that's why we're going to pray. He invites us to pray, and we're inviting you to pray today. And the way we're going to do this is we're breaking prayer up today into three sessions. Three sessions. We're going to pray for 8 minutes. We're going to come out of that prayer and worship God. We're going to go back into prayer for 8 more minutes. Then we're going to come out of that prayer and worship God. Then we're going to go back into prayer finally for 8 minutes. Then we're going to come out of that prayer time and worship. Can we do this, Strong Tower? We can do this, can't we? Come on, come on. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Because I know somebody's a little nervous. It don't take all that, Pastor. Sometimes it does. God wants to grow disciples. And the disciples ask the Lord, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? We all are learning how to pray. And sometimes we pray audibly, out loud. That's what we're going to do today. You can do it. Your identity is not introvert, even though you are introverted. That's not your identity. Your identity is one who is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And at your disposal are weapons of warfare to cast down strongholds and every high thing that seeks to exalt itself against Jesus. You are a warrior if you are a Christian. And God has called us to war in heavenly places and to pray and to open our mouths. And for some of us, this is going to be the first time that we pray with other people. And you know what that means? That means you grew spiritually today. Pastor Felicia, I remember when she first started coming to Strong Tower, her and Brother John, and she started working with the children's ministry, and she was nervous about praying in front of people. And I said, oh, no, no, you're going to pray in front of people. I told her that. You're going to pray in front of people. And she looked at me like, and she did it. And she said, I can do it. Then she did it again. Now I can't stop that girl from praying, preaching, talking, prophesying. We grow. I'm believing God is going to visit Strong Tower in a special way that we've never experienced in all of our 30 years. A couple months back, I felt it on my heart to put together an intercession team, a specific team. And they have been praying and praying and praying. And it's like priming a pump. It's like putting gas on fire. And we're seeing God do things. And what if he sets this church on fire through intercession and prayer? And yeah, we pray. But what if he just, where what we're going to do today, what if we did this twice a year? What if we ended up doing this quarterly? What if God visits us in such a way where we say, Pastor, we'd like to do this every other month? What if God comes in this place in such a way where we do this monthly? What if God hits us so mightily and powerfully where we say, scrap what we had planned next week. Let's come back next week and do this. Y'all do know that's how revival starts. Man devises the way, but God will direct the steps. Now, if we don't do this next week or quarterly, we will be doing this because the days are evil. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the more evil is going to manifest. And we better be people of prayer, not just in here, but out there. But today we are praying for healing. So what's going to happen is when I finish this talk, we're going to go into prayer session one. Would you put session one up, please? This is how we're going to pray. We're going to start off quietly first. Prayers of confession, personal confession, and repentance. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm scared. Lord, I confess this, I'm talking to God. But then I'm going to ask you to start speaking to God audibly as you pray for healing from family wounds. All of us have been wounded. Most of us have wounded others. But he is the Lord who heals. So we're going to pray for father wounds, mother wounds, relative wounds, spousal wounds, parenting wounds, sibling wounds, friendship wounds. These are just here to help us. And this is going to remain up while we're praying to help us remember. What we're not going to do is take prayer requests, because that'll take up the whole 8 minutes if you start talking about your father. Pray for me, my dad, or pray for me, my mother. We're not going to do that. We're just going to start praying. Some of you are going to stand and pray. Some of you are going to hold hands and pray. Some of you are going to huddle and pray. You can turn the chairs around. You're going to pray with people next to you. But watch this. If you don't feel comfortable praying with other people, you can pray by yourself. You can just say, I'm okay. And you can sit by yourself. Or you can come to the altar, because one of these may really trigger. And you need to just come to God in his house and lay before him. But also, my intercessors are going to be up front. And you may need somebody to pray with you about something your children have said or they've done or they're And they're going to be here if you want someone to pray with you. So this house is going to be a house of prayer. We're going to be moving. We're going to be praying. Now, what I don't want to see, people out here talking, chatting, elbowing, laughing. If you're not going to pray in a group, or come to the altar or have the ministers pray, respect the Lord enough to just sit quietly. You may not even have a relationship with God. Guess what? Today is the day. You can pray, Jesus, I want to know you. Forgive me of my sins. That may be your prayer today. You pray that. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me, Lord. That may be your prayer today. But we're going to be praying. So I'll be watching the clock. Then my wife or I will close that little session right there in prayer so we could go into a worship song together. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to lay before the Lord, you can. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. This is his house. Then we'll go back into session two. Can you put session two up? Praying for physical healing. We know people in our body who have been racked with various illnesses. We're praying for them. We're praying for deliverance from various addictions, as you see there. And we're praying for God to do the miraculous. Lord, do a miracle. I need a miracle. And some of us are in debt so much we can't give. Or at least we feel like we can't give. We can always give something to God. But some of us say, man, I'm so in debt, I can't give. We can give out of our poverty, but we also want to give out of our wellness. So some of us may need God to touch a miracle. I don't know how the Spirit may lead, but we're going to ask for the miraculous. Then my wife or I will close that session. Now watch this. If God has still got you in session one, and your group is staying strong on, y'all stay there, okay? But others of us are saying, what's next? What's next? I'm ready. Again, freedom here. And then we'll go into another worship song. We want you to sing along. And then we'll go into session three. Prayers for healing from church hurt. Prayers for healing from racial trauma. Prayers for healing from institutional pain. There are people hurting today because of any one of those or a combination of all three. Then guess what we're going to do when we finish that? My wife or I will pray. Then we're coming back out with a worship song. And that song is going to be, I Need You to Survive. Don't give up. Don't give in. We're praying these songs and singing these songs. Then I'll close. Then we're going to sing a closing song. Oh, man, I'm so ready. Darina, come on up. Intercessors, come on up. Yeah. Amen. So look around, and there's community where you're sitting. You can pray with others. You can pray by yourself. You can come forward. We're here. But if everyone would bow their heads right now, yeah. Oh God, we reverence you. Oh God, we honor you. We bless you. Would you take a moment just silently to confess your faults to God, your sins? And might you turn. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that when we confess and forsake our sins, we find power. But when we try to hold on to our sins, we do not prosper. Take a moment. Cleanse us, God. Prayer warriors, we're putting session one on the board, on the screen, and we're praying for healing from various family wounds. Now is your time to pray audibly. Get in groups. Hold hands if you want. Touch and agree. Stand up. But now let's start praying audibly, out loud, to God. Amen? Come on. Let's pray. Pray for healing. Hallelujah. Prayer is the work. Let us not faint. Could you not pray with me for 8 minutes? 16 minutes, 24 minutes, could you not pray with me? Yes, God. Men and women should always pray and not faint, not give up. Prayer session 2. Prayers for physical healing. Again, we came into this weekend fasting. My prayer team, they fast. Some things won't come out without prayer and fasting. Something's going on in your body, and you would like someone to lay hands on you. You come. They can even anoint you with oil, because it represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the altar is open if you want to come by yourself or come with your family. But we're asking God for physical healing, mental healing, spiritual, all of that. Prayers for deliverance. Alcohol, you've been abusing it. There's a substance that has sought to control your life. And you need God to break the yoke. You need to participate with Him. Addiction from pornography. My God, addiction even from social media or what other people think. Prayers for God to do something miraculous in your life. All right, prayer warriors, let's go back in before God. Touch and agree. Pray audibly. You can leave the prayers on the screen.
Today and forever. Your arm is not too short to save. Lord, against reports, against threats, against emails, against the realities that we see before us, God, against all hope, may we be like Abraham and believe in hope, no matter what the obstacles look like before us. God, we believe. Help us overcome our unbelief. We believe you are the same. You may do it differently, God. It might not look like how you brought deliverance for our neighbor. It might not look like the stories that we see in Scripture. It may not look like what we are asking for or what we can imagine, but you are able. You are able. We believe it. Would you open our eyes to see the miracles that you're already doing? May you deepen our trust that you are able. You are all powerful, and nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too difficult for you, God. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too difficult for you, oh God. We praise you, God. Nothing is too difficult. You are able. You are all powerful. You are all powerful. You have healed. You can heal again. You have delivered. You can deliver again. You can supply. You have supplied. You can do it again. Do the miraculous, God. Do the unexpected. Use us to be a part of that miracle for somebody else. We speak words of healing. Forgive us for being so quick to complain, so quick to limit. We believe. Help us overcome any unbelief. In the name of Jesus, thank you for this precious time to pray. And we seal the prayers, God. We may not know what our brothers and sisters are praying for. We don't have to know, but you do. And we seal those prayers and we agree together, all of God's people saying, amen and amen.
This past weekend, the streets of Nashville were lined with people waiting in anticipation of who the Titans would draft with the number one spot. Because our team has been struggling. And when they said Cam Ward, people went crazy. Because the city's looking for a savior. And if they could clap for Cam, I think we can give a round of applause to Jesus, our Savior. Come on, come on. We didn't draft him, he drafted us. Come on, come on, he made a way, he made a way, he made a way, he made a way, he did it. He gets all of the glory. Amen. Well, prayer warriors, let's go on in. Session 3, we're praying for healing from hurt. I pray for anyone who's been hurt by the church. Even if it's this one, may God bring the healing. Maybe even conversations that need to happen with people in the body or with leadership. Prayers for healing from racial trauma and from institutional pain. Pray, saints. Father God, I thank you that you hear us. I thank you that we can touch you with the feelings of our infirmities, that you know what it's like to be rejected, despised, talked about, put down. For those who have been going through changes in their jobs, transitions because of things being ordered by the government, I pray that those who are walking through changes, that they would not miss a meal, they would not lack in any way, that they would not take these things personally. I pray for our police officers, and I thank you for the great ones that we have had in our church and have now. They're in some tough situations, God. Would you give them wisdom? Would you protect them? Would you deliver them from evil? Would you comfort them? Thank you. And for those of us who are going through challenges because of racism that is still very much alive in this country, even for our white brothers and sisters who have experienced persecution because of who they choose to fellowship with, marry, adopt, stand with, worship with. Lord, I pray that you would repel every fiery missile from the enemy and allow them to see the kingdom more than they see this culture. That goes for all of us. Lord, we need everybody in this room to survive. I need the gifts that you have to help make me better for Jesus. You need the gifts that I have to help make you better for Jesus. We need each other. Knit this body together, Father, like it's never been knitted together before. May we not let petty differences divide us, and secondary things that are not the most important things keep us from unifying. We need each other. In Jesus' name. People of God, hear the word of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Daddy, thank you for being a good, good father and making a way and wanting us to thrive as a body under the headship of Jesus. Thank you for giving us the precious Holy Spirit who baptizes us in Christ together, making us one, even though we are not the same. We bless you. It's so good to know that we can come to you, that you hear us, that we can even say, Abba, Father, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. The old folks used to say, if I didn't have a need, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. If I didn't have a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. Oh, Father, we're leaving your presence encouraged and thankful and grateful. Never the same. Continue to grow us in our discipline, that we can spend time with you, with our own families, at home, alone, and not only together. But I pray you take Strong Tower to another place of prayer and dependence on you. We want to be balanced in upreach, inreach, and outreach. Help us to that end. And as we pray most every Sunday, we pray now. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or imagine. And it's according to the power that's working within this church. To him be all of the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.